Welcome to the Afropolitan podcast, hosted by Eche Emole, founder of Afropolitan. On the show, we chat with Afropolitans whose footprints form the foundation of systems dedicated to building the future of a bold and progressive Black community. In each episode, our guests share their working formulas, the hard facts about leaving familiar terrain, embracing the unknown, and staying relevant afterwards. Listen as we extract the blueprints of fearlessness, innovation, and progress.
Hey, Afropolitans. In today's episode, we chat with Fadekemi Abiru, Head of Insights at Steers, a financial data intelligence company providing subscription-based data and insights to professionals and businesses. Fadekemi talks about Steers and the importance of data-driven insights in Africa. We hope you enjoy this episode. Hey, Afropolitans. It's a pleasure to introduce you to Fadekemi Abiru, Head of Insights at Steers. Fadekemi previously worked as an economist for the UK government and provided analysis on projects including regional economic development, international trade analysis, and net zero policy. Fadekemi holds a BSc in economics from the University of Bristol and an MSc in African development from the London School of Economics. Fadekemi, we're excited to have you on the show today to talk about data-driven insights in Africa. How are you doing?
Hi, Eche. It's great to be here. I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Doing well. Let's dive right in, shall we? Can you talk us through the founding of Steers and Steers' mission?
Sure. So in its simplest form, Steers has the mission to deliver the most trusted source of data and insights on the African economy for decision makers and professionals. So since we launched our subscription product back in 2020, we have been producing data-driven insights on the Nigerian economy. The focus on Nigeria makes sense. The core of our team is Nigerian. Our founders are also Nigerian. But obviously, as we continue to expand, we're looking to, you know, enter into other regions on the African continent because we want to truly our mission of giving people data and insights on the African economy. We have our specific practice areas that we focus on. So those cut across energy, finance, fintech, the tech ecosystem, and governance and institutions. So we just truly believe in, you know, approaching things from, you know, a truly specialized perspective, because that's very important for producing the kind of intelligence that would add value to our users.
I love that. So, for example, the Nigerian elections are coming up next year, February. What plans does Steers have to cover the election?
Yeah, so we have big plans. We've made a very, very big bet on the elections. And I think a big part of this was largely informed by our experience back in 2019, when we created a microsite where anyone from anywhere in the world could access quantitative results and data on the 2015 and 2019 elections as they were unfolding. So we obviously included the 2015 elections because we thought it was important to kind of give our users that historical context on the elections as they were following it. So the goal there really was to showcase our data expertise to international clients and investors. And our data-driven approach was mostly driven by the fact that we understood that the local media already did a really good job at producing election news. So we really wanted to build something that was differentiated. And so that meant that we were purely apolitical in our approach. We mostly just had a data agenda. And in typical Steers fashion, that just meant, you know, giving access to data to people, but then presenting it using beautiful and interactive visuals. And the result of our approach was basically, you know, we had about 2 million visitors on a monthly basis to the website. We had the likes of CNN actually referencing our visualizations. And so that basically informed, like, you know, for the next elections, 2023, we decided that we wanted to go bigger. And going bigger essentially meant, you know, going more granular into the data that we make available for our users. So the last time we did this, you know, we stopped at like the state level essentially, but now we have even mapped out, you know, each senator's constituency. So this time around, you know, if you had someone who wanted to follow the Delta North or Lagos East elections, they would be able to do so. So our goal essentially is to, you know, organize all of Nigeria's election data. Our hope is that, you know, we can increase voter participation in the 2023 elections by making it easier for people to find critical elections data.
It's interesting. I think for our listeners, the reason why this is an important perspective is if you consider the elections in the West, you have all these data-driven insights. I know one of the things that CNN always has is that board where they go into granular details. And so you're saying in the African context, we rarely have those sort of insights, right? So that is something where STAIR's election product could actually really start to get people the data that's needed to make, and also to understand the electoral landscape as well.
Yes, 100%. I mean, one of the things that I believe like holds back critical economic developments across a lot of African countries is the lack of data. And data is so critical to, you know, like useful policy making. I mean, just take it like this. If, you know, your government, you wanted to respond to the COVID-19 pandemic back in 2020 by, you know, delivering, you know, some kind of aid package to people in a specific region, you need to know, you know, where people are, what their distribution is, you know, what sectors they're employed in and how and to what magnitude they have been affected by the events that were unfolding. And all of that, you know, data sits at the heart of that. And it's the same thing in any electoral process, you know, like I think data fosters this spirit or feeling of transparency in the entire democratic process. And that's really, really important for driving even more voter participation when you have people who believe in the electoral process and what the outcomes of it are. And so that's why I'm really excited about STAIR's elections. I feel like one of the things that differentiates what we're planning to put out there or what you find on STAIR's elections is first of its kind data. So we're proud to have created the only existing map of constituency boundaries for the House of Representatives and State Houses of Assembly that is available for Nigeria. So our engineering team to actually get this done was quite challenging because, you know, there's less information from INEC. So INEC stands for the Independent National Electoral Commission. So there's less information about that on there, which is typically where people should go to find it. So our engineering team, they deployed complex data processing techniques just to make this possible.
I love it. I love it. So then let's talk about what are some of the data-driven insights or expectations that you can share with us concerning the upcoming Nigerian elections in 2023?
Yeah, sure. Sorry. So just to confirm your question, do you want to understand what people would know, what people can find out if they downloaded STAIR's elections now?
Yes. Or insights? Yes.
Okay, perfect. So I think where I would start from is, you know, in the first iteration of STAIR's elections, the key thing we focused on was, you know, personalized monitoring. So, you know, when people use the My Elections feature, they'll be able to sign up to and track specific elections. And so once they sign up, we'll also be sending them insights, explainers, and results that are related to those races. Another thing as well is, you know, there's a Know Your Candidates feature to STAIR's elections. So people would be able to use interactive maps and visualizations to find all the candidates that are running for president, Senate, House of Reps, and governor. So they can just see like the basic profiles on these candidates. And I think the final thing on there is the fact that we built mobile first. So all of these functionalities that I've just mentioned would be available on our app. So that should make it easy for people to access information on the go.
I love that. I love that. Like I said, I'm also a STAIR subscriber, and it really gives me a cheat code when it comes to understanding a lot of the insights in Africa. And I think I'm always really taken aback by how many decisions in Africa get made without data-driven insights, especially from a government level, or even in a company and startup level as well. So it's about time we really start to embrace the power of data to unlock a lot of value for us.
100%, 100%. I agree. One of the things that we like to say at Steers is, you know, what gets measured is what gets managed, right? So if, you know, you're not able to access data in real time on, you know, the impact of a policy, then there's no way you're going to be able to, you know, understand how to evaluate or make further iterations so that you can continue to improve on the impact of said policy or even know if it's working and, you know, if there's a need to completely discontinue.
Definitely. I love it. What gets measured is what gets managed. I love it. So then how has technology enabled the Steers election product?
Yeah, so I think one of the things to really appreciate or that I cannot emphasize enough is that the Steers elections product is actually the output of a multidisciplinary team. So I personally don't think that this product would have been possible without a combination of different skill sets and expertise. So we put together a cross-functional unit of, you know, product managers, software engineers. We had our data engineers and data analysts, designers, and also political analysts kind of like coming together to make the product more complete. So as we add more features, we expect each of these functions that each team member has basically played to remain active in the final product.
I love it. So what would you say is the significance and likely impact of the Nigerian Electoral Act of 2022 on the upcoming elections?
Yeah, so I mean, there are a bunch of things. So the first one might be, you know, how quickly we can expect to get the results. So with the 2022 Electoral Act, INEC should be able to transmit results electronically from polling units to the commission's results viewing portal. So that in itself already allows for, you know, much greater transparency because people can see those numbers in real time. But I feel like it's important to stress that, you know, this will not necessarily constitute, you know, some kind of, you know, we're not anticipating that INEC would be collecting these results like electronically because they'll still be computing them like manually. But the electronic transmission should allow like the media and other stakeholders as well to engage in their own private collection while they're waiting for INEC to, you know, make that final declaration of the results. So as a result of, you know, things just moving, you know, faster, we should be expecting INEC to declare the results as early as a day after the election.
I love it. I love it. Does Steers plan on conducting polls in the future?
Yes, we're very, very interested in polling. We recognize its importance in driving a truly fair and transparent electoral outcome because what polling basically does is it helps to amplify like public opinion about the entire electoral process. So people can also, you know, get updated about, you know, people are not surprised about the final outcome because they're seeing in real time, you know, what public perception is about the candidates that are running, what their policies are, you know, what they feel the real, and I think it works the other way as well because polls allow the candidates to kind of tune into what the real issues that are being faced by, you know, the voters are, and then, you know, kind of like figure out how they want to prioritize that in terms of their, you know, presidential or in terms of their ambitions, essentially, if they were to succeed. So we're currently working with third-party polling providers to build a representative sample of panelists. So it's really important for us that we do this right. And this means that we need to achieve some kind of statistical significance. So whoever we're talking to has to be representative of the Nigerian population. And so what we're expecting is that as Steers elections expands, we'll be making the results of these polls available to all our users. But in the meantime, what we're really focused on is ensuring that our methodology for data collection and also surveying is sound.
So what data trends make this upcoming election different from the last election?
That's a good question. So historically, Nigeria's voter turnout has been quite low. So in 2019, the turnout was only 36%. So that basically indicates to you that many Nigerians are not engaging in the process of selecting their leaders. And that's problematic because, you know, these are that would go on to govern them, you know, for at least, you know, 4 to 8 years. And I guess even when we're looking at the governorship elections as well, the turnout was around like 20% or less. We had off-cycle elections like the Anambra gubernatorial elections in 2021 and the Lagos East Senate by-election in 2020, coming down as low as 10%. But with, you know, some of like the polling work that we've been seeing from Premise Data, NY polls, you know, and all the other anecdotal evidence that's been coming out, there is some indication that, you know, voter turnout should be higher in this election. And I personally think that even a modest change could have significant consequences. You know, for the first time in a while, we're seeing the Labour Party that's been, you know, revitalized by the obedience movement, you know, coming out as, you know, a credible third force. And Stairs has actually previously covered, you know, the role of a third force in, you know, kind of informing, you know, the trajectory of like a country's democracy. We're also expecting to see a definite uptick in turnout in the South as both Bola Tinubu, who comes from the Southwest, and Peter Obi, Southeast and South-South regions, have basically been embraced by voters in these regions. So yeah, so those are some of the things that we think would be different.
So finally, can we ask all Afropolitans who come on the podcast this particular question, right? And the question is, everyone gets to deal with significant failure in their life at some point, right? What would you say was your most significant encounter with failure? And what lessons did you learn from that?
I think one of them would have to be, giving up my perfectionist tendencies. I feel like, you know, sometimes when you grow up as a high achiever and you constantly get rewarded for that time and time again, you start to feel that that is the level or the standard that you have to constantly operate at. And so that basically means that I tend to come down very, very hard on myself when I feel like, you know, I haven't met those expectations or other people feel like I haven't met those expectations. So it's something... it's a work in progress. I still find myself constantly checking myself on it. But yeah, we're not there yet.
I love it. So we also asked Afropolitans, if the only thing left in the world was to read a book about your life, what would the title of the book be?
These questions. Please say it again. Like, I'm really internalized.
Definitely, definitely. So if the only thing left in the world was a book about your life, what would the title of the book be?
I'm going to cheat and use a title that I already know. It's one of my favorite books. It's called All About Love by Bell Hooks. And I am picking that just because of what the core, the spirit of that book was. You know, it basically revolutionized like what love means for me. And I feel like, you know, that's how I tried to practice love. So I think in the past, I had this like hierarchy where, you know, romantic love was like, you know, the be all end all. And then everything else, like platonic love that you have with your friends, with, you know, family, other people in your lives, like kind of came second. And I felt like this book like really showed me the importance of, you know, kind of like deprioritizing that romantic love. I think romantic love is still important. Please don't get me wrong. but I think, you know, one of the things that I really like about that book is it forces me to practice love as a choice that I make every day, as opposed to something that you kind of fall into, like the Hollywood movies try to make you believe.
I love that. So then are there any 3 books that you've read that have had a profound impact on your life?
So all the Harry Potter books. that was a big part of my formative years. Nothing big deep there. It was just, I just really loved the escapism that, you know, the whole world of Hogwarts was basically able to offer me as I grew up.
Awesome. Were there any non-fictional books that had a profound impact? I mean, you are head of Insights at Stairs.
So. so I mean, definitely All About Love that I referenced earlier by Bell Hooks.
Oh, yeah.
also think a useful book is by Danny Roderick, but I'm trying to remember what it was. It's called Economics Rules. So very nerdy book, but I really liked it because Danny Roderick is, you know, a heavyweight name in the economics profession, but she really takes the entire economics profession to task in there by highlighting some of the flaws that economists tend to have in our thinking and why the rest of the world would be quite careful to make sure that, you know, they don't over-index on some of the conclusions that we draw about the world. So a big one there is just like some of our assumptions, you know. Economists are intelligent people, but to make better sense of the world, we like to reduce everything into like a single model, making, you know, assumptions, you know, about people being rational. But, you know, we've seen that people can also be quite rational in their decision making. So I think that really shifted my worldview, especially like, you know, as I continue to, you know, build my career in economics.
I remember the first time, I think this was in when I was getting my bachelor's, and we had to do a paper on trickle-down economics, and there were two sides arguing for whether it had worked or whether it had not worked. And I remember just realizing that, oh, these are not a settled law. These are not settled theories. And I was just really taken aback because I'm like, so you could choose to implement an economic theory and then find out the consequences 10, 20 years later. I was like, rah,
that is
insane. That is actually insane. We asked all our guests this one last question, right? Which is, what does being Afropolitan mean to you?
So I think it's daring to be like yourself in a rapidly changing world. And I think, you know, not a lot of people feel, especially for women, I don't feel a lot of women get that permission to be that, to look, just like dare to be themselves. So I actually feel like that's something I like to kind of like align with, like the Afropolitan name as well, just like daring to be who you are and not having to ask for permission.
No, honestly, Fodekemi, it was a pleasure hosting you. I'm definitely wishing Stairs the best of luck, especially with the upcoming election coverage, not just in Nigeria, but also across Africa as you guys expand. I'm a huge fan of the product. I use it. I highly recommend it to anyone who's interested in data across Africa. Thank you for stopping by the Afropolitan podcast. I hope you have a great one.
Thank you so much, Eche, and I love the questions, especially towards the end.
Thank you for listening to the Afropolitan podcast. We are building the future of a progressive Black community. To join our community, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Afropolitan. Be sure to join our Discord and Clubhouse community by clicking on the link tree on our Instagram page. See you on social.